Hello, developers, and welcome to the PHP Architect Community Corner podcast, where we have conversations with members of the web development community. Today, we're talking with Alexandre Dubois about his talks at PHP Tech 2026 and the Franken PHP server. Alexandre is the CTO of LayTills.coop and is a leading figure in the PHP ecosystem. A major player in the open source world, he is an active member of the Symfony and Franken PHP core teams and a core maintainer of the PHP language itself. His expertise in crafting robust, high-quality code is distilled in his book, Clean Code in PHP. As an international speaker at conferences like Symfony Live and Forum PHP, Alexandre shares his deep insight on topics ranging from cybersecurity to object-oriented programming theory, all connected by a common thread, designing maintainable software for the decades to come. Thank you, Alexandre, for finding some time to talk to us today.
My pleasure.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things that you're involved in is the Franken PHP project. And so I know a little bit about it, but can you kind of explain to our listeners like what the project is and the problem that it solves?
Yeah, so Franken PHP is like a replacement of usual Nginx PHP FPM setup. Usually you need to run two separate softwares to run PHP. So it can be Nginx and FPM, or you can also use Apache and ModPHP. But we want to replace that like old setup to have just one software to run PHP applications, just like any modern software we would have. So yeah, this is the main thing. It is a replacement of both a web server and PHP SAPI, whichever they are. And thanks to this, we wrote this in Go. So actually, Kevin Danglas, which is also the CEO of the company I'm working at, created Franken PHP, and then I joined the core team earlier in 2025. But yeah, the goal was to modernize the whole PHP setup to run PHP applications. So Franken PHP is written in Go, which makes it really maintainable compared to FPM, for example. I can tell you that I already tried to contribute to FPM, and it's super complicated, and nobody wants to review it because it's also be super complicated, super complex, and also not that well tested. So yeah, nobody wants to contribute to FPM. So this is like, really good news for the PHP ecosystem that can catch up with other languages. And also the fact that it's written in Go, we can take advantage of a few of its amazing features, like the Go parallelism paradigm with goroutines, channels, and so on, which make the reputation of the Go language. So we are able to have the worker mode, which is the killer feature of Franken PHP. You just boot your application once, and then the PHP application is held in memory. And then for the next request, the application is already booted up, which is a big change compared to before, where PHP is actually killed between each request. So yeah, this is a huge feature, which provides also a lot of like free performances for your application. In benchmarks, we are talking about like 2 times or 3 times more requests processed in the same time span. So this is really great. And we are also providing new features during the last months. Like Kevin created the PHP hot reloading right into Franken PHP. So you just modify a PHP file in your IDE, and then the web browser is able to reload just the part that needs to be reloaded for the application to be up to date. I participated to the extension generator, which is a tool embedded in Franken PHP that allows you to write PHP extensions in Go instead of C or C++ and have to learn all the PHP internals and so on. So yeah, thanks to the generator, you just provide one file, one Go file, with all your defined PHP functions, thanks to some annotations and so on. and you don't have any C code to write actually to have a fully working extension, fully working PHP extension. So to extend the language, to have more native functions, to enjoy goroutines and parallelism right into FrankenPHP. So yeah, this is really powerful. It's packed with a lot of other features. But yeah, these are the main features that are really pushing the whole PHP ecosystem forward and yeah, keeping up with the rest of the web languages and so on.
Okay, so then I think there's some like some stuff for me, at least me, to unpack, and maybe other people as well. And so the idea is like we've replaced Apache Nginx and ModPHP and FPM with this one piece, right? And so it's doing all of those things for us. And so is it kind of wrapping like the like is it taking the PHP executable and just kind of wrapping it in Go, or is it like a reimplementation of PHP in Go?
Oh yeah, great question. So for the web server part, actually we embed Kadi, the Kadi web server, which is one of the most used web server those days. So we did not create the whole web server. We used something that is already doing something great. And Kadi is also written in Go and also supports modules / plugins, which FrankenPHP enjoys this mechanism to be actually a module of Kadi. So it plugs directly on Kadi web server, and then we are using the PHP engine just like a library actually, because we are compiling statically PHP right into FrankenPHP, which allows us to call the interpreter just like a C library, like any other C library. So we don't have this overhead where Nginx should send a request to FPM and so on to be processed, etc. Because everything is done locally and right into the executable. So we have this overhead also that is removed. And yeah, we are using a project called a static PHP binary to do this, to have the PHP project as a C library that we can call directly in Go. In Go, you have a feature that is called CGo that allows to talk to C and Go, C to talk to Go and Go to talk to C. And thanks to this, we can just call PHP, the PHP engine, to just evaluate our scripts, and that's it.
Okay, because eventually, like Go is like a compiled language, right? I'm not a Go person, like so that's like a gap in my knowledge. But it's a compiled language, so you just like create a binary, and then the binary runs like wherever you need to. So that's like
actually in the binary of FrankenPHP, you have Kadi web server, you have PHP statically compiled, and also all the required extensions. So the most famous extensions are also bundled right into FrankenPHP. So you can just use them easily. And also, thanks to the static compilation of everything, we also have the Go runtime, which is a little piece of code in all Go projects that allows to deal with Go routines for parallelism and things like that. And because there is a Go runtime right into FrankenPHP, we are able to create Go snippets that we can actually run at the runtime with PHP, and then create PHP extensions written in Go. This is how it's done internally.
I find it really fascinating. Like, there's all these different people who are building it, because like I've seen like people do it in Rust, and people do it in Go, and people do it in C, and it's just so nice that like we're just like whatever language you want to use, you can write an extension. As it's not super important, because it comes down to like C compatible code anyways at the end, right?
Yeah, and we have to be honest that just C, C++, Rust, or Go are better for some things, and we shouldn't force ourselves to do like just a PHP because we just want to master this stack and that's it. No, Go is super fast because it's compiled, it's type safe, and so on. And being able to juggle between the languages depending on what they are best to, yeah, it's definitely the best thing that we can have in 2025, 2026.
Yeah. So I think like the piece that I'm kind of like wrapping my mind around is, so the idea is like you essentially just have one, like instead of having like a bunch of, you know, worker nodes running right in the background, there's just like a single like executable running on your system, and then it's using threading to like get that extra performance boost.
Yeah, with GreenPHP we have a few things. So you can indeed spawn threads and workers, but in any case, yeah, we can take advantage of Go being compiled low level and so on to enjoy the full performance of the host machine to spawn as many new routines that we want, to run PHP in parallel. So yeah, that's pretty powerful. And also, GreenPHP is also provide a feature to pack your whole application in one single binary. So if you have your PHP application, it will pack assets, CSS, JavaScript, PHP files, your PHP executable with all the extensions necessary for your app to run. Everything packed into a single binary file, which makes it super useful and easy to install on bare metal servers where you have no dependencies and so on. Everything is packed in one executable that you just have to deploy on your servers, and you're good to go. Your application can run the full PHP project and so on.
That's really cool. I didn't realize that it was that was. I missed that in the docs. As I like breeze through the docs like to prep for this interview, and I was like looking for cool stuff, and I was like I completely missed that. That's a really interesting feature as well. So like I'm not. I just have like some like Laravel or some Symfony projects, and like at this point I could probably just like download FrankenPHP and those just work, right? Like if there's nothing I'm gonna have to do to my code base in order to get it to work, or is
right? If you are using the classical mode, so the mode where PHP is shut down between each request, then you can already run your PHP application. You don't have to do anything, and the performances compared to FPM are the same. This is the same, and modulo, you don't have the network overhead between the web server and the SAPI, etc. However, if you want to run the worker mode to have the real gains of performances, you have to tweak a bit your code. It will depend on your code base, but actually, you don't have to do that much thing. The fact that it's when you are using worker mode, you have to pay attention to your stateful services and static variables that you need to reset between requests. Mm-hmm. Typically, if you do this with Symfony, you would implement the reset interface, and then your service would be marked with the resettable tag. And between each request, Symfony will take care to reset, to call all the reset methods of all resettable services in order to be sure that all your, I don't know, cache arrays, static variables, not necessarily static, but any stateful variable that should be set reset between each request, it will run the reset method. So you have to implement that yourself. If you have many stateful services and things like that, you may have to do a little bit of work. But this is actually the only thing that you need to do when running the worker mode with FrankenPHP. Before the latest version of Symfony, also you had to install some additional package in order to tell Symfony or any other framework how to work with the worker mode, to call the garbage collector between each request and so on. But now with the latest versions of Symfony, so 7.4 and 8.0, it is natively supported. We made this choice because FrankenPHP is now the official solution recommended by the PHP Foundation. The code lies under the PHP organization on GitHub. So we took this decision at Symfony to natively support it because it is the official recommendation of the PHP Foundation to run application in 2026 now.
Yeah, and that's an excellent segue because I was actually going to ask about that. So this is a project that's supported by the PHP Foundation, and it is kind of like the recommended way to for us to start deploying our applications, essentially. And so, do you have any insight as to like how that like works day to day? I know that like those relationships are kind of complicated sometimes, but is there something that like is that something that you're involved in at all? Is that relationship with the foundation and how that works, or?
Not that much, actually. It was like a way to tell the people that this is the best way to run PHP application now. But actually, all the governance and so on didn't change. It's still Kevin Nanglas, which is doing all the releases and so on. He still has the full control over the project. For the core team or the contributors, we are just contributing just as we are used to. But actually, no, the foundation, it was just, it was a way for core PHP developers to contribute to FrankenPHP more easily if they have to do some patches right into the core of FrankenPHP or PHP for both to work well together and so on. But we can do whatever we want with the project, actually. So we don't have that much discussions with the foundation. We have a Slack for the PHP Foundation, which is invite only. But on this Slack, we have a channel FrankenPHP where we can. Indeed, talk with other core contributors and other core developers of PHP. Sometimes we need to support things that require patches to the PHP core. So this is a place where we can discuss easily and quickly with core developers that are able to help us if we need to.
Yeah, I think like it seems like the PHP Foundation has been like an excellent steward. Like they're not. Like much of our community, they're not trying to say do this way. They're just saying like we're going to help you. Like we're helping. They're not like a hindrance from what I've seen from the multiple projects that are they've kind of helped to take under their wing. Or however you want to say that. Yeah. Awesome. So and I guess I kind of want to take a step back though because I was thinking about that like so the concept of like normal PHP runtime is like shared nothing. So like we start like. We have a request. We start up the PHP process. It does its thing. It ends. Everything disconnects. And so, what you're saying with the FrankenPHP is that, like, we're keeping our connections open to, like, our database server or our Redis server, and we're keeping those open essentially for the lifetime of that FrankenPHP is running essentially. So like we get that like that added bonus of not having to make those connections, but then we have to worry about the fact that there's state involved. Like so we could theoretically like talk between different requests. Like we could keep like something in memory and it would like keep track of that, or is there some protection against that, I guess?
So yeah, we could, and nothing protects you from doing that. But we don't want to. We want to keep the original nature of PHP. We can also have indeed persistent connections between requests, but the goal at first was like, okay, we have a Symfony or Laravel project or whatever, and you have a whole container to set up and dozens or maybe hundreds of services to instantiate every time with the dependency injection and so on. So the goal here is just to do this once and keep all the whole container up and running. But yeah, of course, nothing prevents you to reset your cache or properties and so on, your stateful services, and you could share things, but this is really not the goal here. And yeah, I can just fully discourage this and just keep your doing PHP just the way you are used to. And but you have to, of course, implement the resets method to reset your stateful services, but just do that. No, nothing more.
Okay. So you could shoot yourself in the foot, but please don't, is what we're trying to say. as possible.
Yeah, you can, and also, things like MySQL or Postgres or Redis, are not, how to say that? With PHP, we are not used to have persistent connections, and we have so many problems when we try to have one, like the server went away, or timeouts, or things like that. So yeah, this is a whole other story with persistent connection. But yeah, the main goal was like we have a huge container with 100 of services, and we just want to boot that once for application and not every time between requests.
All right. So thank you for that kind of overview. So I don't need to tell you that production monitoring can be complicated. There are tons of tools and techniques, but you just want to know that your app is up and your users are happy. When your customers encounter a problem, you need clear, actionable intelligence, not walls of charts and reams of logs. That's why they built Honey Badger, the monitoring tool you've always wanted, a tool that's there when you need it and gets out of your way when you don't. With Honey Badger, you'll know when critical errors occur and which customers are affected. Respond instantly when your systems go down, improve the health of your systems over time, and fix problems before your customers can even find them. Honey Badger is the application health monitoring tool built for you, the developer who cares about a quality product and happy customers. Start monitoring today at honeybadger.io. It's free to get started, and the setup takes less than 5 minutes. Once again, that's honeybadger.io. One of the nice things is, like, you're going to be one of the speakers at PHP Tech 2026. Can you give us kind of like a brief overview of what you're going to be talking about at the conference?
Yeah, so I have two talks scheduled for PHP Tech. So the first one is about frontend PHP, actually. I will talk about Go extensions with frontend PHP. So I will get back to what is frontend PHP and so on, so everybody knows what it is. And then showcase how you can use Go extensions right into your PHP applications to make them even more powerful. So with a bit of live coding, with maybe a shared in-memory cache system, which is shared between requests that you can create in Go in a few lines, and which is super powerful, for example. So this is the first thing I'm going to talk about. And I have also a second talk scheduled, which is about security breaches in the PHP engine. So I'm going to showcase how you can, what actually security breaches and backdoor looks like in real life, because we are always hearing, there is a backdoor, but we don't exactly what it is exactly, how it looks. So I want to show that and also do some live coding showing how to use those breaches, which are, of course, patched now. I want to give an insight on what is cybersecurity really, what are breaches and how it looks, and the whole thing is also how you can protect against this kind of breaches and vulnerabilities, because even though they are present in the PHP engine, these are things that you can protect yourself against directly in your code. So yeah, these are the two topics. So frontend PHP and Go extensions, and how looks security vulnerabilities in the PHP engine, how to use them, and how to protect against them. And of course, these will be security vulnerabilities that are now patched. So yeah, no disclosure of zero-day breaches and so on, of course.
Yeah, those both sound really interesting. I'm actually quite interested in how to use Go to like build the extensions, because that's I hear a lot about Go and Rust in like the community. So I'm really curious to see like how Go works essentially in under the hood and what it looks like. So and thank you for doing both of those talks. There, if anyone's listening, there's a bunch of topics available on the phptech.io website. Tickets are available for purchase if you're listening to this, you know, before April or March. I can't remember what the conference is off the top of my head, unfortunately. But before I let you go for today, is there anything else you'd like to direct our listeners to?
If you want to follow more about frontend PHP, Go extension, and so on, I can recommend to follow our blog of our company, letiel.com, where we publish also in English. We have a few articles about Go extensions and things like that. These are some topics that I'm also talking about on my blog. I have a blog where I mainly talk about quantum computing and space, but sometimes I like to write about Go, PHP, and so on. So yeah, if you want to follow me there, that would be a pleasure. And if anyone have any question about FrankenPHP, Go, contributing to Go, contributing to Symfony, or contributing to even the PHP engine, and if I can help, that would be a pleasure. And anybody can contact me, LinkedIn, X, or the Symfony Slack. Also, I'm also always available, so don't hesitate if you want a helping hand to contribute to open source and things like that.
Awesome. I'm going to put links to as many of those things as I can into the description. I don't know if I have the Slack, but I'll put links to like all those different websites as soon as I can. So thank you again for your time today.
You're welcome.
I have to say another heartfelt thank you to Alexander for all of his time, as well as for you for listening. If you're not already a subscriber, make sure you subscribe with whatever your preferred method is, and maybe leave us a review to help other people find us and to get us a little boost in the charts. This podcast is available as an audio version on the PHP Architect website, as well as a video version on our YouTube channel. This is Scott Keck Warren for the PHP Architect Community Corner, signing off and reminding you to keep listening, keep coding, and keep reading.